And welcome to the show today. I am Dave with Valley Stewardship Network, and this is Conservation Connections. And today, I'm really excited. We're going to be talking with Gail Klinkner, who is a dairy farmer here in the area and is on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, as well as the National Dairy Promotion Board. You work for Westby Co-op Creamery, and you have your own store with Klinkner Country Store.
Correct.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Busy.
Well, welcome to the show. Hey, so first off, I don't know anything about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin or the National Dairy Promotion Board. What do those groups do?
Yeah, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is an organization based off the checkoff, which is part of our milk checks as dairy farmers.
Okay.
So in 1983, there was actually a law passed that said that to help dairy farmers, we're going to assign 10 cents from every 100 pounds of milk sold to the Wisconsin, at the time, Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, is now Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, to promote dairy products and build trust in dairy farmers.
Okay. So whether any dairy farmer that gets a check for a dairy product is paying into that advertising or the promotion board?
Yes.
Oh,
correct.
Interesting. Yep. All right.
And with the National Dairy Promotion, it's actually the same thing. It's 5 cents from every 100 pounds goes to the national promotion, and really built in the same thought processes to help promote dairy within the country and throughout the world in exports now.
Yeah. Wow. So what do you do for that? I mean, is your role to as part of the promotion for dairy? Is that?
Yeah. So my job on that is to ensure the proper spending of the monies that our dairy farmer dollars get spent properly. I represent Vernon and Crawford counties on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. And that's who I'm protecting, is their dollars spent.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Okay. That's really cool. And how did you get onto those boards?
So the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board, I was actually elected. It's a 3-year term. So coming up this next spring, I'm actually up for re-election.
Okay.
So there'll be a process through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and they'll send out ballots to every dairy farmer licensed in Vernon and Crawford County, and they'll have the opportunity to vote for their member. Yeah. National Dairy Board, I was actually nominated by the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to sit on that board, and then was appointed by the Secretary of Agriculture.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. Good. Yeah. I mean, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Somebody local doing all this stuff and helping, like you say, promote our products and protecting how we're spending the money.
Yeah, ensure that my dairy farmer neighbors, their dollar is properly spent. And, that's my job, to come back and tell them that, yes, we are doing a great job and how we're spending that money.
Yeah. Hey, and you have a dairy farm.
Yes.
And is this a first-generation farm, or is this a family farm that's been going on for a while?
Well, did you know that 99% of dairy farms in Wisconsin are family-owned?
I did not.
Yeah, so that's a cool little fact that I can share. I personally am a third-generation dairy farmer.
Wow.
However, my husband and I and our 5 children, my husband did not grow up on a dairy farm. He grew up in town, so we started from basically nothing. I had a few heifers and a few cows that I brought with me when we started farming together.
Wow.
And we started in a rental situation and then purchased our farm about 18 years ago down by Liberty Pole.
Okay. Wow. And did he want to do something like that? Or did you kind of say, hey, I've got this in my background, let's go do this?
You know, we're both very passionate about cows. We're both what we say is cow people.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people have dogs and cats.
Uh-huh.
We have cows. We feel the same way about our cows. And that's something that's kind of always been a passion of his. And he worked for local farms growing up.
Okay.
And he just always, he would tell you that he's always known since he was a little kid that he wanted to be a dairy farmer.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I would echo the same that, cows are always going to be part of my life as well. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Congratulations. Yeah. And you guys have a store, Klinkner Country Store.
Yep.
Which is down on Highway 27.
Yep.
South of Viroqua here.
Yeah. Just south of the Monument Rock.
Yeah.
So we sell direct to consumer. Our family farm fresh beef, pork, and lamb, all raised on our farm. And then we also sell some Westby Creamery products, some cheeses, and just have a few decor and giftable items, you know, as part of a store. But, you know, our philosophy there is that we want to share with our community and our consumer what we do every day on a dairy farm. So we always say the barn door is open. We'd like you to come down and check it out and, you know, see how things work on an active dairy farm.
Yeah, which I would really recommend to people. It is fascinating to get out and actually see how food is produced, of any kind, really, I think, but in this case, dairy. And dairy is such an important part of our community here, both as far as employment and the products that we're generating here and creating revenue from. And from a conservation perspective, I mean, dairy was a big driver in how contour strips started in the 1920s. As a way to help preserve the land. And so without dairy, I think we'd have many fewer contour strips. And so there's a big connection there. So that's very cool.
Well, and growing up locally, contour strips has always been a part of my family farm. And for Rob and I, when we bought our farm, we just bought some farmland a few years ago. And, you know, we worked with Valley Stewardship in the Chena Creek watershed, and we put contour strips back in that farm. We practiced some managed grazing on that farm. We put in some fencing, you know, to have the animals out and about, you know, less fossil fuel emissions when we let the cattle do it themselves, you know, grazing, and of course, just more efficient. We also put in a dam, a dry dam, so that we're hopefully slowing down some of that water and erosion going down into the Taner Creek as well.
And managed grazing is a huge part of conservation as well. So that's great. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, you know, we got to take care of the land, and the land will take care of us.
Hey, so what are you doing? So speaking just of, let's stay on the family thing for a second. So what are you doing to, I guess, encourage interest with your kids and keep them engaged? Because I've seen you at the Vernon County Fair. And of course, one of my favorite things at the Vernon County Fair is the Little Britches Show. And I know you, I don't want to say you run it, but I mean,
I do run it. You're correct. Actually, that's something my mom started in 1990.
Wow.
Is that Little Britches Dairy Show.
Okay.
And something, of course, that I've always been involved in growing up helping her. And been doing it myself now for about 16 or 17 years.
Wow. So. And I got to tell everybody, if you haven't done that at the Vernon County Fair, it is fantastic to see young kids, young people. I mean, they, I don't know how young they I see sometimes it seems like 4 or 5 year olds.
Two, three year olds. You know, if they're old enough to walk and, you know, hopefully communicate a little bit with me, you know, they come to the ring with a calf and they get the opportunity to talk to me and the crowd about, you know, their calf's name, what they like to do at the fair, those kinds of things. And then they get a little prize, and the fair. So the fair is there to hand them a ribbon. It's so exciting, and it builds interest in that industry, I think.
And gets them in so that when I think teaches them some handling and poise and whatever, knowledge base and everything, so that when they get to the point where they're teenagers and they're really showing a cattle, I'm going to say, for where it matters. That they know a little bit of what's coming.
And, you know, it just, it builds that love of the industry, the dairy industry, and the fair, which is such an important part of our community as well.
And I was going to say, I mean, when the kids bring their calves out there, the calves are bigger than the kids. But I think that's true as adults, too. The cows are always bigger than the adults, too.
So but you're correct.
Somehow it looks, I don't know, cuter when it's a kid.
So, you know, those are kind of the foundation pieces in our household for the kids. You know, of course, our kids have all grown up on a dairy farm. So from the time they were little babies sitting in a stroller waiting for me to milk cows. They've always been a part. Every one of them loves it a different way. The oldest one is into Guernsey cows, which is just a different breed. So we have a few of those at our house. The next one is interested in Jerseys, and we have mostly Holsteins and Jerseys on our dairy farm. The youngest one loves all things dairy. He or in farm in general, he loves his chickens, he loves the pigs, all the things. It's interesting that they all love it. They all love it a little bit differently, and they are all active in the farm
though. Boy, that's terrific. So two questions came out of that for me. One is when especially when they're older, like teenagers or whatever, and they're showing a cow, and you see, you know, well, this is the grand champion, whatever, milk cow, or I know there's many categories, but Is there any, what do I want to say, increased value of the milk that comes from that cow because it's a prize winner? Or is there, is the cow worth more now because it won grand champion whatever at the fair or something? Or not really? Is it just to...
So I would say the county fair is more bragging rights, you know, which is kind of fun. And it's super fun for the kids. And it's important for them to have that pride that comes from having those winners. The milk is worth no more. That is true. When you look at, we have registered cattle. So just meaning we know the pedigrees and the lineage of the animal's history. And we have a piece of paper that says so.
Yeah.
There are others that don't, and that's fine. It makes no difference as far as the product. The product is the same that comes from dairy cattle. But there are local shows, there are state shows, there are national and international shows. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about marketing of the actual animal, then yes, there's an increase in value when you talk about winning some of those bigger shows and bigger stages.
Yeah, cool. So you mentioned that on your farm, you have three different breeds of cattle that are giving milk, but sometimes, you know, you'll drive down and you'll see someplace and it says, oh, this is a Holstein farm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some reason why a dairy farmer would either specialize in a specific breed of cattle or not? I mean, do you get more milk fat or more whatever for different kinds of products?
So first I would say it's farmer preference.
Okay.
I grew up on a registered Holstein dairy farm, so we had Holsteins, and you know, growing up that way, that was the only thing I saw. Black and white or red and white, that's it. my husband has a love for Jersey cows.
Okay.
So we do have Holsteins, and most of them actually go back to my original cow family that I got when I was a young 4-H'er at 8 years old.
Okay.
I can trace most of them right back to that cow, which is really cool, I think. And then the Jerseys are something he loved, and when we started farming those, that's his choice, was to buy the Jerseys. And like I say, my oldest son enjoys the Guernseys, and the story behind that is he wrote an essay as a 10-year-old and won a Guernsey cow.
Or
a calf at the time.
And yeah,
she's reproduced and had several daughters for him that have continued in our herd.
Wow. And I just saw that on Facebook 2 days ago, maybe, that the Guernsey Association or somebody was saying somebody can write an essay and you could maybe win one. So, wow.
Yeah, so that is something that they
do. And it really happens.
Yeah,
it does. Somebody
here,
yeah. Fantastic.
You know, there's a lot of opportunities for the youth in the area, in the state, if they want to pursue getting started in the dairy industry and, you know, don't even have a place to put one, they'll help you. You know, they'll help you with a grant program. Many of the organizations will, and connect you with a local dairy farmer that maybe you can work out a housing agreement as well. So,
yeah, cool.
And I guess back to the question at hand, is there a reason? Is there a difference? Like I say, farmer preference, but a Jersey generally has a higher fat and protein content in their milk, so making more cheese.
Okay.
A Holstein cow, you may have more pounds, still a pretty decent fat and protein content, but higher volume out.
Okay.
So generally for fluid milk.
Yeah. Hey, so when a milk truck is just driving around, you know, you see it on the road and it's mm-hmm. picking up milk from many different farms. It doesn't all just get dumped into one big thing, or does it? I mean,
it does.
Okay.
Depending on where you're going to have your milk process. So wherever you have your agreement, our milk goes to the Westby Creamery, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
All of the, quote unquote, conventional milk. So milk like you would buy in the store, say, at Quick Trip.
Yeah.
All goes in one silo at the Westby Creamery. If it's an organic, certified organic milk, it's going to go in a different silo at the creamery. So they're going to keep the milk separate.
Okay.
But farms are commingled, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. And around, you just mentioned Westby Co-op Creamery. We have Organic Valley, which is a co-op. Is that common that in the dairy industry there's a lot of co-ops, or is that something that's unique to this area?
Nope, it's not unique to this area, although I know Vernon County is the largest co-op. There's more co-ops in Vernon County than any other place in the state, which is really unique here, and the co-op mindset here is very strong.
Even in other industries, like Vernon Electric Co-op.
Yes.
General.
Yep. Yep. You know, all the co-op, Premier is a co-op, Chaseburg Co-op is a co-op, Westby Co-op Credit Union.
Yeah.
Lots of co-ops right here in the Driftless. But as far as co-ops throughout the United States, there's many. Dairy Farmers of America is a large co-op. Okay. Land O'Lakes is a large co-op. The Tillamook Creamery, which is maybe something people would recognize,
yeah,
a brand,
sure,
is a co-op from the West Coast.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's co-ops throughout the United States, but there's also private processors, and there's many of them as well.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, what would you say are some of the bigger challenges facing dairy right now, or opportunities, or just in the dairy industry overall? I'd say, what are the topics going on right now?
Sure. You know, some of the exciting things is today, 1 in 5 semi-tankers of milk that you see on the road is exported. So it's like 17% of the U.S. milk is exported, which is huge. You know, there's a lot more people,
yeah,
in the world than there is in the United States. So that's very important for dynamics of how our milk is priced and,
yep,
how it's sold. That on the positive side. On the negative, you know, cost of inputs, just like everybody else has inflation to deal with in,
mm-hmm,
your pocketbook. We have inflation to deal with where we have kind of a status quo milk price, but cost of fuel is up, cost of seed corn is up, cost of alfalfa seed is up, all,
yeah,
those things.
Okay. True or not, the government sets milk price or dairy price, I don't know, whatever.
Right. So there's something called the Federal Milk Marketing Orders, and,
okay,
that is to stabilize the milk price. So different regions of the country process their milk differently. So in Wisconsin, 90% of our milk is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of the state's borders.
Wow.
Which is amazing to me.
That is amazing. I mean, I had heard this number, 90% of our milk is made into cheese, which I thought, that can't be true.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and it is true.
Yes.
I did not know that 90% of that goes outside of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a portion of it leaves the country as well, you know.
Sure.
We have something really special here in Wisconsin when we have all of the specialty cheeses that are made. You know, we've won more awards than anywhere else in the world right here in Wisconsin for,
mm-hmm,
our quality of cheese. And that really is a note to the quality of milk that we have here. We've talked briefly about, you know, grasses and, you know, grazing and the quality of our forages that we make here. All goes to make such a beautiful product. And then we have licensed cheesemakers in Wisconsin, and we're the only place that you have to be licensed to make cheese.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Huh. And that's licensed by the state? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Wow. And they actually go through a very rigorous training process that's years long,
yeah,
to become a cheesemaker and a master cheesemaker as well.
Huh. And I know we do have some great cheeses here for sure. I mean, it's fantastic. I was just watching Wisconsin Foodie.
Yes.
You know, with our own Luke Zahm hosting.
Yeah.
Within the last couple months, and he was in Japan, and there was a big cheese promotion thing there, because it's not a natural, I don't know, I want to say not natural, it's not common there.
Yes, correct.
And a lot of Wisconsin cheeses were there, and so that was interesting to watch.
Yep, and then on a side note, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, that board I sit on,
yeah,
they help organize Luke working with Wisconsin Foodie. So there's,
oh, okay,
some of our dairy farmer dollars at work is,
yeah,
helping to bring his knowledge into the game and share that with foodies from throughout the U.S.
Yeah, and how to prepare it and how to use, yes, not just eat it with crackers, which is what I do most of the time, but
right?
I'm sure there's better ways to manage it. Yeah.
Oh gosh, there's so many pairings and great things. And you know, if you go on wisconsindairy.com, you can find so many different kinds of cheeses and then what to pair them with, and you can really be the cool person on the block when you have your friends over.
Yeah. So just thinking about how dairy farmers get paid,
mm-hmm,
and some of this maybe just from whatever 45 years old year old information, I remember when I was taking ag classes in high school and everything, milk is milk worth more if it has like a higher butterfat content or higher some other content so that it can be used for certain things and not, you know, easier to make,
right,
cream or easier to make cheese or whatever. Or,
yep. So milk is sold by per 100 pounds. So by 100 weight is,
okay,
what we call. So every 100 pounds of milk that we ship to a processor, we're paid on it. Of course, for quality, the higher the quality, there's a little bit of a bonus, not much, but,
okay,
there's a little bit of a bonus. We're very rigorous here in Wisconsin as far as standards for quality. So like I say, you know, if the quality is just a little bit superior, there's a little bit of a premium there. And then, yes, a higher fat content, a higher protein content, milk is a little bit of a bonus there, too. So okay. There's some pricing structure around that.
Yeah. And is some of that dependent on the breed of cattle, and is some of it dependent on what you're feeding them, or?
Kind of a combination of both.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, environment, breed, and what you're feeding them all kind of play into how much fat and protein is in the milk. Yep.
And again, part of it is maybe this was just simplified for high school ag classes, but it seemed so easy when I was taking those classes as well. Here's this kind of feed you're giving them. And if it's short of something, you give them some supplement and this and that, and you're done. But then I go out to some of these dairy farms and I talk to the farmers, and it's astonishing to me how complicated the different kinds of feed are, and the mixes that they're making with different types of silage and different types of different things. I mean, it's just crazy to me how involved at least some of the farmers seem to be in the food that they're giving to their animals.
And I would say almost or most are very okay. involved. You know, there's people that have nutritionists. We have nutritionists for our cows.
Okay.
You know, we have doctors or veterinarians specifically for our cows, you know, that are all working together, pieces of the puzzle, to make sure we're the most efficient mm-hmm. we can be. You know, dairy farmers, nothing's lost on us as far as efficiency. And when you talk to a dairy farmer, you're going to find out that they're making sure every dollar stretches as far as it can mm-hmm. and know where their profitability lies. So what can they do to make that cow as efficient as possible, whether it be, you know, she's calving at 2 years of age, which is standard, and she's having a calf every year. And those things, they all play into nutrition and working with the veterinarian and the comfort of their stalls, whether, you know, you drive by some larger dairies that they maybe have sand bedding. Mm-hmm. Those cows are like living on a beach every day, you know. Some of the tie stall barns, it's more common around here, will have deep bedding or sawdust for them, or we have mattresses in our barn is what they're called for our cows to lay on.
Wow.
So there's a lot that goes into it. You know, where most farmers, I would say, you're generally taking care of their cows before they're taking care of themselves.
Yeah. Hey, you hear a lot about mental health with farming today, just in general, farming.
Yes.
And many other industries too, but specifically farming. How about dairy farming? I mean, are there any issues I would say with mental health and health care in general for farming?
Yes. So mental health is a challenge in every industry, but, you know, in farming and dairy farming, there's a lot on these people's shoulders, and it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
You know, in the Wisconsin Farm Center, through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Production, actually has some really great resources, whether they be financial resources or mental health, connecting farmers is a great place to start if somebody needs some help mm-hmm. and doesn't feel comfortable talking to somebody local, because we all know there's that little bit of a stigma. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we can send them in the right direction to get them some help, no matter how private they want that to be, I think that's important. And through the Farm Center, that a lot of that is free, and that's stuff okay. that there's a couple organizations that work with those people.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say dairy farming is the example, I mean, that I've always heard my entire life of mm-hmm. there is never a day off. I mean, you wake up in the morning, that cow needs to get milked.
Yep.
It doesn't get off on Sunday. You don't get off on Christmas. You don't, I mean, it's, and same thing at night, right? I mean, it's
yes.
every single day forever.
Forever, yep.
You got to love it. And,
you do.
And there's other benefits and all that other stuff. But boy, it is.
Yeah, you're your own boss, but you're also your own financial advisor. You're your
yeah.
own banker. You know, there's so many things that go into it.
Yeah. So other than just buying dairy products, I mean, are mm-hmm. there things that average consumer can just do to help, I don't want to say the mental health of dairy farmers,
right.
but just to help our
local... To be supportive.
Yeah, our
yeah.
local dairy farming. What can we do just as regular folks to help?
You know, buy local.
Yeah.
You know, that's helping. There are several, much like our Klinkner Country Store, there are several around the area that have on-farm processing, or not processing, but stores that you can buy meat, eggs, all those things from them. In Wisconsin, you cannot buy raw dairy products, but you can definitely buy Westby products. You can definitely buy Organic Valley products. You know, Quick Trip is local. Quick Trip bottles milk right in La Crosse. We're so lucky that that's so close here.
Okay. So buy local for sure.
Yep. And then I would say also, if you're supporting Wisconsin dairy farmers, you're looking for the Proudly Wisconsin badge on dairy products, because it's there on everything made in Wisconsin with Wisconsin milk.
Okay. I for sure, I can picture it in my head. I for sure see it on cheese, but it must be on all sorts of dairy stuff.
Yeah.
Cottage cheese.
Yes. All the cheeses. Yep.
I got to say, cottage cheese is one of those things that I have, as a kid, I guess I was made to eat it. But as an adult, I just love it. I mean, it's whatever it is. I don't know.
Well, you know, in a high protein treat for a lot of people, you know, and in this world where we're all talking about our health, it's so important to have that high protein dairy in your diet.
Yeah. And I'm not in the industry, but I mean, I don't know, see different things and hear different things. One of the things I just heard about in the last couple of months was dry cottage cheese as a product, which I'd never even heard of before. But I don't know that it's really so much for consumers as it is for other...
It's made for baking.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of specialty baking that goes on with dry curd. Westby makes it, but they make it only seasonal for the holidays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Any other things you want to mention at all about just local dairy stuff and what we're doing or what you're doing?
Locally, you know, I also am part of the Vernon County Dairy Promotion Committee.
Okay.
Which is a county organization. That's who puts on the dairy breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
So we will be doing that in June 14th at the Mark and Teresa Lepke Farm here just north of Viroqua.
Okay.
So exciting things coming for that. Looking forward to planning that for our community.
Yeah.
And hoping, you know, we have a great turnout and people come out to the dairy farm and see what it's all about.
Yeah. That's a great event. I've been to a couple of them before, and it changes the farm that it goes to each year.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and it's a great time. So anybody that has a chance, keep an eye out for that in June.
Yep, and I would also say if it's something you're interested in volunteering at, you know, reach out. Vernon County Dairy Promotion has a Facebook page. Look on there and send us a message. Hey, my business or just me personally, I'd like to help out with that. And we, of course, always could use volunteers when you're when you're feeding 3,000 people.
Yes, no, that sounds very good. Well, I want to thank you so much, Gail Klinkner, for coming in today.
Absolutely.
And talking with us here with VSN and Conservation Connections. Thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, have a great day.